Keith, can we skip to the Luke passage, please? Luke 6, 27th verse. Jesus is still preaching on the plains, and he says this: "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." And then today, our story, toward the end of the story of Joseph, in the 45th chapter of Genesis. Joseph has been sold into slavery as a young child by his brothers, gone to Egypt, been imprisoned in Egypt by his boss, and finally been released from prison after interpreting a dream from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh puts him in charge of all the lands and the storehouses because there is a famine coming. And now, 2 years into the famine, Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt to find food. They do not recognize him, but we pick up in verse 3, and this is the story. "Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come closer to me.' And they came closer. And he said, 'I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. God has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, and you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. And I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want us to think today, if we might, about a Romans 8 passage, which was not read in the scripture readings, but you know it well. In all things, God works for good for those who love God. Now, here's what I know that you don't, and some of you can't see right now. Up here you can see. Let me let you in on a little secret. You are not invisible. They're not invisible. When I say things like, in all things, God works for good for those who love God, some of you make these faces like, not for me. And you are not invisible, so I can actually see you doing that. I know what some of you are thinking. No, God does not work for good for me. I work with the meanest people on earth. My spouse and I are having all kinds of trouble. My child is so out of control, I can hardly sleep at night. I have money problems. I'm worried about getting older and who's going to take care of me and how my health is going to last. I have debt out my eyeballs. No, God is not working for good for me, Pastor. And please, please, Pastor, don't preach one of those cheery little sermons where you're going to pat me on my head and say, oh, yes, God does do that. Go away and be happy. Well, let's see what I say. That's always what we do here, isn't it? I have a friend whose husband has recently gone through cancer treatments. And I would say to her, as we went together to watch him and to care for him and to be with the doctors and have his treatments, he had two different surgeries, I would say to her, all will be well. All will be well. Don't fret over this, all will be well. Don't worry about the surgery, all will be well. Don't worry about the cancer treatments, all will be well. Don't worry about the cancer, all will be well. And she finally said to me, stop saying all will be well, I'm tired of hearing it. Okay. Because it sounded to her like a nice little pat on the head. When she knew that all might not be well. He had a kind of cancer that could have killed him. Now, he has actually come through most of his treatments and is doing very well, and all has proven to be well. But all will be well is something that means more if you know where it came from. It comes from a 14th century mystic named Julian of Norwich. And Julian said this, and so our good Lord answered to all the questions and doubts which I could raise, saying most comfortingly, I may make all things well. I can make all things well, I shall make all things well, and I will make all things well, and you will see for yourself that every kind of thing will be well. See, what's happening here is that Julian is reminding us that even if what we're facing looks like it may not be well, that God holds us in the palm of God's hand, that God provides for us, that God's sovereignty and providence are always surrounding us, and therefore we know that even if our life looks dark and times seem hard, that all will be well. Because ultimately God is the one in control of what happens to us. Is that not doing it for you yet? You're still not invisible. I can see you, and some of you are going, just pat us on the head and send us home. Well, how about this? We may not all live in a condition of happy providence where everything is always going our way and we skip to work each day and our children pack their own lunches and joyfully run to the bus stops and practice piano every day for 45 minutes just like Debbie tells them to. 45 minutes, really? Yeah, see, I always tell her piano students, the difference between Debbie and I is when we were 8, she practiced. If you can't relate, or even if you can, to the notion that all will be well, here's maybe something you can relate to, because part of our universal condition is not happy providence, but being wronged. We have all met that person. Providence, in my friend's case, was little more than happy coincidence. If you're not feeling it today, I have a hunch I know why. But if we look at the Joseph story, maybe we can find something just a little different. Few lives in the Bible give us greater evidence to the reality that in all things, God works for good for those who love God, than that of the life of Joseph. But we must remember how he got to where he is as we pick up the story today. Slavery, prison, hard work. Tears over brothers who hated him, a boss who doesn't believe him and imprisons him, friends who forgot him, co-workers who find him impossible, and a dad who thinks he's dead. And yet, and a dad he doesn't know is alive or dead. The first thing that Joseph says to his brothers is my father alive? Can you imagine that place? If someone in the midst of that had said to Joseph, all would be well, he would have thought they were crazy. And yet, when his brothers come before him, when they stand before him, and realize who he is, he says to them, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. It is Jacob who takes that first step toward forgiveness. Jacob, the one who was wronged. Jacob, whose brothers took his fancy Gucci coat, smeared it with goat's blood, and threw him in a pit, and then sold him into slavery. It's hard to see how Jacob could have been more wronged, and yet he is the one who takes steps to say, you are forgiven. The lesson here is that reconciliation is crucial to the larger movement of God's providence. If we are living right, we are living within that which God provides. And get this, don't miss this part of this. Because some of you may be saying, well, so what? So what that Jacob forgave his brothers? Remember that God made a promise to Abraham, a promise to Isaac, and a promise to Jacob. And if Jacob's sons perish, so does the promise that God has made to them. That is God's providence. That the promises that God makes will really come to fruition. That is how Jacob's efforts toward forgiveness and reconciliation are working for good. Well, see, it's not just that in all things God works for good for those who love God, but in all things we must work for good to bring about what God wants for the world. Martin Luther loved the Joseph story. Loved it. And Martin Luther was a little bit weird, but he had some really good things to say about the Joseph story. And one of them is that he understood that Joseph prefigures Christ. That is, from the figure of Joseph, we can look and know what's coming in our Christ. So what do we know? Joseph is the one who lives, who forgives, who reconciles, who brings to life God's providence and God's ways. Joseph is the one who works for good, for the God who works for all good in all people. As Joseph brings life to Egypt in his reconciling, his forgiveness, and even in the basic acts of making sure that the people have food and water to survive a famine, Joseph is the giver of life. And as Joseph brought life to Egypt, so Christ brings life to the whole world. Because Christ has forgiven us, we can forgive one another. Because Christ has offered us reconciliation to our God, we can be reconciled to one another. This is the God that works for good for all of us, the God of sovereignty and providence, who wants only what's best for us, has provided us a means of salvation for all eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen.